As promised last week, today on the Faith Debate Program, we're going to get some resolution on whether or not it's pronounced leisure or leisure.
Does that depend on what part of the country you're from?
Yeah, I think it depends on how snooty you are. I don't know. Anyway, that's the voice of David Forsey. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com. And I'm the pastor of a church. It's called Household of Faith in Christ. You can find us online at householdoffaithinchrist.com. It is a one-stop shop for everything that's related to our church and this radio show. And actually, it's the way that you can try to connect with David Forsey as well. And you'll see his beautiful face on that website. It's like he looks like a guy that would say leisure, actually, in the photo we have on householdoffaithinchrist.com. He's wearing like a bow tie, I think.
And
upper crust.
I'm going to go with leisure, actually.
You're going with leisure?
Leisure. Yeah. Well, this picks something totally different. That's real hipster. I look kind of hipster in that picture, unfortunately. So
that kind of fits, because if you're too into the leisure, that means you're being lazy, and that's leisure, right?
That's right.
So I can go there. Anyway, why are we talking such nonsense? Well, we're working our way through the Chicago Statement on Biblical Application. We're on Article 14 today, and its subheading is Work and Leisure. So the first couple affirmations are, we affirm that God created humankind in his image and graciously fitted them both for work and leisure. We affirm that in all honorable work, however menial, God works with and through the worker. So all of humankind should be working.
Right. Six days.
All of us are in his image.
Leisure one day.
Yet. Yeah, it doesn't say, but I guess we could insert an assumption there. I think I'd be okay.
Is leisure the same as rest? Leisure, now you're going to find out how I actually pronounce the word when I keep saying it over and over. Is it a biblical term?
I don't know. Well, I guess it depends on the translation.
Okay.
I'm kind of wondering. There's got to be at least one translation out there that uses the word leisure, right?
Probably, yeah.
That's how a good Southern Baptist preacher would say it, by the way.
Is this like working funsies?
Yeah, right.
Is that what we're talking about?
Can you imagine, right? Good Southern Baptist pastor. We affirm that God created humankind in his image for both work and leisure.
See? It's the Southern pronunciation that I have. Okay.
I think we're okay with that. It's sure. Broadly generic, and I don't know. I there's not enough there to argue against. So, sure, I think I'm fine with it. The next one is fine, too, except... it says all work is honorable, right? No matter what you're doing. If you're milking cows, you're mopping floors.
Well, it says in all honorable work.
Okay, in all honorable work, however menial. So menial work, it's still honorable. God works in and through the worker. And that's true. I don't know if they're going to get into this more, but I hope what they're not saying is that there aren't, people shouldn't have aspirations to higher callings.
Okay.
Right? It's like somebody who's got gifts from God that they could put to good use to make a profound impact on the neighbors around them, and they choose to, you know, get out the tweezers and pluck the blades of grass because, well, that's honorable work. I'm going to pluck the blades of grass. But yeah, but you could transform your entire town because you've got these gifts.
Right, right.
So I'm not sure if they're going to get into that or not.
We'll see if they have anything to say about working to our greatest potential. Is that sort of what you're getting at?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We affirm that work is the divinely ordained means whereby we glorify God and supply both our own needs and the needs of others.
Okay.
We affirm that Christians should work to the best of their ability so as to please God. So that might get to what I was talking about, perhaps. Yeah. They don't use the exact phrase.
Best of their abilities. All right.
So I'm okay with that. I don't think I'm pushing back on any of that, really.
Yeah, not so far.
Okay. All right, the next one. I outlined these earlier for some reason. I've got three in a row. I don't know if they're on the same theme, but I'm going to read all three because that's how I have it outlined on my notes. We affirm that people should... By the way, yes, I have notes, but I haven't reviewed this and looked at these notes. It's been a couple of months, so have pity on me. We affirm that people should both humbly submit to and righteously exercise whatever authority operates in their sphere of work. We affirm that in their work, people should seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, depending on Him to supply their material needs. We affirm that compensation should be a fair return for the work done without discrimination. I don't see how those are thematics. I don't know so why I clustered them together. So the first one, we should humbly submit to the authorities that we work under, right?
Okay. Yes.
You should, you know, as long as they're not asking you to do something illegal, immoral, ungodly, whatever. If your boss asks you to do something, you should be doing it.
If they're operating within their sphere and they're not stepping outside of those bounds, yeah.
In our work, seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Depending on Him. So, yeah, so we work hard to pay the bills and put food on the table, but ultimately it's God who puts food on the table, and we're trusting in Him to meet our needs.
Right.
But He does. He is a God who works through means, and He expects us to live up to our potential, to use the word that you assigned to me earlier that I liked. So I think we're good on that. So This is much better than last week when we were going through the economics. We had already pushed back on, like, every single statement. So far, we're mostly agreeing. Maybe we're just getting old and tired. We affirm that compensation should be fair.
I think you're going to have a problem with this one, Troy.
It should be fair?
Yeah.
It should be a fair return for the work done without discrimination? Do you have a problem with that one? It should be unfair?
Who's defining fair? So, is this a, of course they would agree with Jesus when he tells the parable, and he says, you know, the landowner hires people at the beginning of the day and the early part of the day and the middle part of the day and the end part of the day, the very last hour, and pays them all the same thing. And the master says, you know, you can't complain. This is my money. This is what I said I would give everybody. So is fair according to what is agreed upon? Is fair according to...
Yeah. So...
That strikes me as accurate.
And I would suggest that that's not usually what the word fair means, right? If we strike a contract, I'm going to sell you my boat. I don't have a boat. I'm going to sell you my boat, $10,000, and we sign off on it, whatever, sign over the title or whatever the deed or whatever it is for a boat. I don't know. It's the same as a car. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Never owned a boat. And hand over the keys of my boat to you, and you give me the check for $10,000, and I'm going to say, well, appreciate you giving me that check for $10,000. It's only fair. That's not how we would use that phrase, right?
Well, I guess
it's not only fair. It's if you didn't give me the check, you stole my boat.
That's true.
Right? So I don't think that's how... So if we have an agreement, everybody fulfills, that's not being fair. That's being... That's more of a justice question.
It's more of a... Well, yeah, so I mean...
So how are they defining fair? That's good.
Because fair wages, right, is that's a tripping point these days.
Yeah.
Right, because, today we often use the fair to mean equitable. We use fair to mean the same, right? And that's when people complain. That's when my kids complain, right, when things aren't... They say that's not fair. And, well, I say, well, it is fair. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
So.
Good catch, because I didn't catch that one. So you got me back on my game now.
All right.
I promise you I'm going to find
more
something wrong with this next one.
All right.
Okay?
Let's see the rocks, Troy.
We affirm that leisure, I'm going to say it all three times, all three ways, in proper balance with work, is ordained by God and should be enjoyed to His glory. We affirm that time off, relaxation, is ordained by God. Well, yeah, day of rest.
What else? What else is there other than the day of rest? What's being talked about? The activities that are not required by you to provide for your family and your needs?
And you almost have to define what they're meaning by leisure or leisure or whatever, how we're pronouncing that word now.
See?
We almost have to.
There's only one way to pronounce rest, Troy.
Because if what they mean by that is everything that's not working your fingers to the bone, it's a great song, by the way. Remember that song from the 70s?
No.
Really? Work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony Fingers.
Nice.
Bony Fingers. Yeah, that was a big hit back in the 70s. Seriously.
Was the point that it was not worth working your fingers for the bone?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, don't kill yourself and your child because all you end up with is bony fingers, I think, is the idea. But if all they're saying is when you're not working your fingers to the bone, does that include time when you're reading and studying scripture? Is that leisure?
That's a good question, Troy.
Prayer?
Maybe.
Spending time adoring your wife, playing with your kids? Is that leisure? Leisure?
I think they must be saying everything that isn't work.
Huh.
Work, everything that isn't work in terms of...
Or what we're doing right now, is this work? Doing the Faith Debate Show?
I mean, I'm not getting paid. Is that what they mean? Okay. Things that you do to get paid are work and other things are leisure?
Yeah, so is it only work if you get paid? Like if I'm out in the yard, you know, mowing grass and pulling weeds and pruning, you know, pear trees and, you know, working my fingers to the bone, but I don't get paid.
Right.
Am I working? I think yes.
Yes. You are.
So they can't mean that.
No, I think that's why they're using the word leisure and not rest, right? Because work and rest is different.
So they mean
from working.
They mean holiday at the sea. What do they mean?
It's a good question. It's a good question, Troy. It's hard. It's hard when you bring in non-biblical terms.
Yeah.
To define things.
Yeah, I think it's fine to use English words that might not be in every translation of the Bible, but when you're going to do that, you should be using words that everybody has a clear understanding of what they mean.
Right.
And you can apply them to the Bible, or you go out of your way to define what you mean in a biblical context. Right? That's like we use the word Trinity all the time. That's not in the Bible, but we now have defined that. We all know what we mean by that, and we could I can use that as shorthand for what, because it's a lot to unpack, the Trinity. You know, you can say it in one word as opposed to a paragraph.
I'm going to say that in this context, with the article before being economics and the next article being wealth and poverty, that they're saying using work as what I do to make money.
Okay.
And leisure is everything else.
Well, then, yeah, of course it's ordained by God.
Okay.
No, duh. Duh.
All right.
All right. Did I even do the next one? Yes. We affirm that work and its product have not only temporal but also eternal value when done and used for God's glory.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No qualms.
No qualms here, and I think that's good for us to keep in mind. You know, particularly when you get into eschatological considerations and debates, there's a certain segment of people that feel like, well, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway, so why bother?
Right.
Let's not try to make the world a better place because it's all going to, you know, burn up.
Do we call them Thessalonians? I'm just saying. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't usually call them that, but maybe you do.
Well, I don't know. There might be something there to talk about at some point, you know, if you're just working to get by until Jesus returns, are you working for the goals of his kingdom? You know,
and then on the other extreme, people that are working really, 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 really hard to try to bring the kingdom now, like it's up to us.
In their own power and might.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, God's kingdom won't, it's just not going to happen if we don't do it. Yeah, no, I don't think so. So you can have, in fairness, we have people on both poles. And there might be other extremes too that I'm not thinking of at the moment. Should I move on to the next one?
Sure.
All right. These are the denials now. So we finished the affirmation.
All right.
We deny that persons should pursue their work to fulfill and gratify themselves rather than to serve and please God.
Okay. I take issue.
False dichotomy.
Right. Both and, right?
Absolutely.
Because pleasing God, well, this goes back to what I was saying last week. But so in this context, right, pleasing God should be, that is self-gratifying. If we are thinking about it the right way.
Absolutely.
Right, if we are doing it in the right frame of mind and
And yeah, you find great joy and contentment in glorifying God, right? If your head's screwed down straight.
Yeah.
And your heart's, you know, screwed down straight. I don't think we screw on our heads or our hearts, but you know what I mean.
It's a very mechanical thinking, Troy.
So, yeah, that's a false dichotomy. That's not great. On the whole, I would say that the biblical application stuff's not as strong as the inerrancy and hermeneutic stuff. That stuff was better.
It can get harder. It can get a little stickier, maybe, when we, you know, try and bring it all down and put it on the ground.
And how do you live it?
Right.
Is a little bit messier. And I think it's made increasingly messy when it seems clear to me now that we've been doing this couple of shows now,
right, yeah.
Where we've been pushing back on some of the, they're trying to avoid fights. And when we're trying to figure out how to live life and how to honor God and how to love our neighbor and all that sort of stuff, we need clarity. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Right? That's what a lot of people are thinking. If only I knew what to do, I would do it. Tell me. And you got a bunch of really high-powered, smart Christian leaders get together to try to tell us what we're supposed to do, how to apply the Bible,
and they're not doing it. Are they trying to avoid legalism? Is that maybe part of the
I don't know.
Obscurity?
So far, I'm disappointed.
Okay.
We deny that the rich have more right to leisure, than the poor. More right to. Well, okay.
Does that mean that?
What does that mean?
It means that everyone should be working to the glory of God and enjoying to the glory of God. And
but in the practical, what does it mean? In the real world, somebody reads this, and what are they supposed to do with this? Does that mean that the guy who's got a high-powered, high-stress job that makes a lot of money, because it's a high-power, high-stress job,
right,
so he's making $500,000 a year, but, you know, because of the stress of his job, he's going to take a half a dozen weeks of vacation a year. And somebody else who's got a more menial job doesn't have the same kind of stress in the job.
Okay.
And they're only going to take 2 weeks of vacation a year. And they're saying that the guy who's making $500, he doesn't have a right to those extra 4 weeks of vacation? Is that what that means? Mm-hmm. It could mean that, couldn't it? And if so, I would disagree with this denial.
Maybe. I think, you know, greater reward isn't necessarily based on greater stress or greater risk, right? There are some menial jobs that are extremely stressful and, you know, have a lot of personal risk, but, you know, I can get behind the argument, you know, if you are responsible for more people, for the livelihood, for the good, for the safety of more people, then, you know, there is maybe should be greater compensation there because of the weight of responsibility. So are you equating the weight of responsibility, greater responsibility with stress?
Correct.
In that way? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. I think because they haven't defined for us what they mean by leisure.
It makes it difficult.
It makes it really hard. Because you're talking about rights now. A right to leisure? What? I have a right to time off? I don't know if I have a right to that. I mean, I have an obligation to God to honor him with a day of rest. And I suppose that my boss should allow me to fulfill that responsibility to God by giving the day. So I guess I have the right to a day off. I think I could make a biblical argument for that.
And for like feast weeks, right? So you look at the Old Testament, right? Rich or poor, everybody, you know, nobody works on the seventh day, and everybody takes the same,
right,
same weeks.
If that's what they're saying, they could have said it better, and I'd agree with them. But I'm not sure that's what they're saying. I feel like almost the right. Doesn't it feel icky? Like they're purposely skirting issues and leaving things wide open. Doesn't it feel that way?
Well, it seems like it's right. All these things should be very specifically applicable to Christians. Right, so if you're being obedient to God, right, then all these things should be particular. You should be able to understand these all in scriptural terms, and a lot, you know, using work and leisure seems to me that they're trying to make this understandable to like even non-Christians.
Feels like, though, because of the way they've written it, maybe I'm reading into it because I'm more jaded because of what's happened since this was written back in the late 80s. It feels like it could be a slap at, like, the business owner.
Right.
Who takes lavish vacations and lives the high life out on his boat on the lake more frequently than his workers are allowed to, because his workers aren't rich. They're the working poor, let's say.
Right.
And that's not fair. That's not right. The owner doesn't have a right to do that. If that's what they're saying, it goes back to what I said before. I mean, it's not taking the full picture in...
Yeah.
Into play. So, anyway, we got two more.
Right.
We deny that certain types of work give persons greater value in God's eyes than other persons have. Greater value. Yeah, and I agree with that.
Okay.
Right? We all have equal value. We're all image bearers. Some of us have more prominent, more important roles to play sometimes.
So value, intrinsic value has nothing to do with type of work, with occupation, right?
Yeah, a person's greater value in God's eyes. But there are certain types of work where the work has more value. I would say that.
In God's eyes?
Don't you think?
Give me an example.
Moses compared to any of the other Israelites.
Well, I mean, yes, but Moses is a Christ type. So if you're going to say that Jesus... The work of Jesus has more value than anyone else's. Yes, I agree. And there are scriptural figures who bear the image of Jesus in that sense in order to point to him.
Are you Jesus juking me right now?
Yes. But I do think that's in a sense, I don't think Moses's value wasn't any, his work was a particular work. He had a particular role.
But don't you think the role of, leader of the free world,
okay,
president of the United States is assigned that title, right? That is more important work than, I don't know, somebody.
I'm about to mom juke you.
Than somebody who. Because it's having an impact on a greater magnitude, on more lives. Right?
Yeah, but I don't think that means that maybe the work has more impact, but that work doesn't have more value. It's either the work is either done well or it's not. Does that make sense?
I guess I we're gonna run out of time here in a second. I think we have one more to do too. I think that the I'm thinking in terms of, we talked about this last week, to whom more is given, more is expected. So there are certain roles. Like, think about somebody who's a pastor.
Right.
Right. Not everybody should desire to be a pastor and teach God's word because there's greater accountability with that. So there's value in that. If you screw that up, man, you're paying a bigger price than if you screw something else up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that makes that work a more valuable work, though.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know that I can.
The last one, I don't know if we have anything to say about this or not, because we're running out of time. I'm just going to read it at least. We deny that the Christian should either depreciate, is that the word? Depreciate leisure or make a goal of it.
Right. So we shouldn't pursue leisure for leisure's sake, and we shouldn't say that it's bad innately.
Huh.
Is that what they're saying?
Is depreciate the right word there? That feels like a weird word to use there.
Know.
Depreciate is like something loses value.
Right, yeah.
Like deprecate would have made more sense to me than, but I don't know. All right, well, this, I'm glad we worked through that part of it, and, we'll do wealth and poverty next time, and I'm sure it'll be more exciting. This one wasn't all that exciting to me.
You like to be critical.
I want
to
throw rocks.
That's it, yeah. Some drama.
All right, next week, drama. Whether it's deserved or not, we're throwing rocks, baby. That's what we're all about here at the Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner, pastor of householdoffaithinchrist.com. If you're going to throw rocks, throw them at David Forsey. He's the pastor of that multi-location Potomac area house church thing that we've ill-defined. Talk about ill-defined things, huh?
No.
Anyway, find me online at householdoffaithinchrist.com or WFMD.com. Till next week, 167.5 hours from right now.
What?